The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show. I mentioned this gentleman in our discussion on the economic response to the COVID crisis with John Tamney from Real Clear Markets, but let's hear him in his own words. Bill Ackman, who is a hedge fund billionaire, on what he believes the public policymakers should do.
Mr. President, the only answer is to shut down the country for the next 30 days and close the borders, you say. Tell all Americans that you are putting us on an extended spring break at home with family, keeping only essential services open. The government pays wages until we reopen. I know from our conversations that you have been worried for some time. How did it manifest today with these tweets and going public?
Maybe just a little bit of context. You know, I'm an optimist, but beginning in, late January, I was getting increasingly bearish, and I woke up with a nightmare. And my nightmare was you have this virus that replicates and infects incredibly rapidly. You know, each person infects 2.5 people, each of whom infect 2.5 people. You know, one becomes two becomes four becomes 16, 256, 65,000. You get to just massive, massive numbers. I'm watching this thing roll out in China. It kills, 1 to 2% of the people. In China, the number's been closer to 4. People think that's because the health system's been overwhelmed. But 1 to 2% means friends and family are going to die. The concentration was, the effect were sort of older people with lung or cardiac conditions. I have a father who's almost 81. He's, he's got he had lung cancer.
So that's, you heard what the proposal was as he's describing the basis for it. You know, you can be a hedge fund billionaire and not be the most grounded public policymaker. This is a little bit more than wealth management. For more on the topic, we're pleased to be joined by John Cochran, who's a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. John, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. John, so what do you think of what Bill Ackman proposed, 30 days and just hold everything harmless and pretend like the next month didn't actually occur? It's sort of a stop the clock, as a couple of other economists have proposed.
Yeah, that is pretty much what it turns out our government's doing. And it's true with a virus, you want to hit it hard fast before it replicates. It would be been a lot cheaper to do this sooner rather than later, but here we are. Given that's what our government's going to do, shut everything down for a month, I think the thing we need to focus on is how to make sure the economy is alive to turn back on again when it's all done.
Well, does what has been proposed in the Senate, is that something that sounds like it's equal to the task of keeping the economy alive, so there's something to turn back on?
Yeah, I would, of course, I'm glad they're doing something. The problem is not all of us have the kind of savings or a job that keeps paying us for a month of extended staycation at home. And businesses in particular have bills to pay. So if you just simply stop everything for a month, you get a wave of business bankruptcies, and a lot of people also don't have enough to pay their bills. So that is, if the government's going to shut down the economy for a month, it would be nice to have an economy ready to go again afterwards. And so the Senate's stepping up, as is the House. I would rather they lent money rather than give money to people. I think that gives you more money where it's needed at less cost to the taxpayer. We can't go on just giving everybody a $1,000 check, and that's not going to be enough. That's not going to keep the airlines in business. They're all going to go bankrupt if this keeps on for a while. So I think a focus on lending rather than sending checks would be a better way to do it.
Let me just take a step back. I mean, can we shut down the economy for a month? Can we really stop time or just tell everybody to shelter in place for the next 30 days? I mean, that's not happened yet. It's happened with probably a fifth of the population when you include New York, California, and Pennsylvania. But it hasn't happened nationwide yet.
You can't stop, obviously, time. Quote, essential, unquote, businesses have to keep open. The grocery stores, the people who bring food to the grocery stores, they got to keep going. The hospital system, of course, as well. But a lot of the rest of the economy is shut down, and that I don't think can go on forever. Having enough financial resources that businesses don't have to go bankrupt, I think primarily through lending, is step one. Step two, they need a plan fast for how to reopen the economy. It's a real sledgehammer to say nothing may open. Okay, that can last for a week or two. That can't go on for months and months. They need to figure out fast how to let your local dry cleaner open. What's a set of virus-safe practices that they can say, okay, if you follow these, you can reopen again. They need to get going on that.
When we come back with John Cochran, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute, I want to ask the question that Kim Strassel wrestles with in the Wall Street Journal. Is coronavirus vindicating capitalism or indicting it? More with John Cochran right after this.
Political fakers, fixers, and takers. He's Dan Proft, and this is the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back to the Dan Proft Show. We're talking to John Cochran, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution and adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. Kim Strassel writing in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. Here's the lesson of the virus so far. Relying solely on government bureaucracy is insane. To the extent America is weathering this moment, it is enormous part thanks to the strength, ingenuity, and flexibility of our thriving competitive capitalist players. Government will save us? How's that working out for Italy? And she goes on from there. So Kim Strassel's put a marker down that it's capitalism is the way forward, not government planning, not the central planners. Is that your view, John?
Well, I'm always for capitalism and freedom, hard to be against it. But you are in an emergency. The government shouldn't be completely shut down. And this is a classic case here that if you go out and infect everyone else because you feel like going out and doing it, that's bad and the government has to stop you. But the points Kim made, testing was a disaster when our government tried to keep a monopoly on it, and letting the private companies at it has finally fixed that problem. China clamped down on their economy fast, but China got into trouble because they don't allow freedom of press. They didn't allow the news of what was happening to get to their leaders' ears. So our wildly free press, of which you're a part, is an important part of it.
Your colleague at Hoover Institution, Richard Epstein, is taking the view that what has been proposed is idiotic, in no uncertain terms, is what he said when we talked to him earlier in the show. He also suggests that the shutdowns per California, New York, and Pennsylvania, and any sort of national shutdown, is a wild overreaction to what we know to be true about the spread and lethality of the virus to this point, that the projections about 25 million Californians being infected and so forth just has no basis in statistical sanity. What's your view on whether or not this is an appropriate reaction to this point, or it's an overreaction, or at minimum, as the Wall Street Journal opined, the editorial board, this is a time where we should maybe do a little bit of a stop, look, and listen and reassess the response to this point?
Well, I think the Richard Epsteins of the world and Dan Henninger as well at the Wall Street Journal are saying, wait a minute here, ought to be listened to. The appropriate response, we don't do this for the flu, they keep pointing out. 30,000 people a year die in traffic accidents, and we don't shut down all of the roadways. So what we do does have to be proportionate to what the difficulty of this disease is. And if this were killing 10% of people, then I think we'd all be for an even more stringent national shutdown as it is. The answer is the response should be calibrated to what the actual medical problems are of this disease, which is only slowly coming out. I'll give a let's listen to them and think hard about what they have to say endorsement there.
All right. And with respect to, again, what is being advanced by Senate Republicans, the checks to individuals to a certain income threshold, the low interest loans you talked about. Are there other things that could be done that are politically palatable? Maybe it's not possible to get a massive capital gains tax cut or capital gains tax holiday, because of House Democrats. But maybe it is possible to, rather than do low-interest loans for service sector small businesses for travel and hospitality, just cover their payroll straight away, because what kind of incentive do they have to go into debt to cover payroll for business they can't recoup, for example?
I think the loans are important. Whether they're low interest or higher interest is not so important. Not salting the loans up with a lot of extra conditions. We came into this completely unprepared, and I hope our government comes out with that they will create a decent virus pandemic plan so they can get things moving faster next time. There's a lot of rules with small business loans, and the Senate is talking about adding more rules. Okay, you can have a loan, but only if you keep your employees. Well, that's not obviously the flexible way to get money where it's needed. So, you know, ramping up the lending, I think, is the most effective thing to do. Handing out checks, not so effective right now. And also, we got to not spend money too much like a drunken sailor. There is only so much money out there, even for the federal government.
What about some things that had been proposed that are not incorporated in what proposed by economists that are not incorporated in what the Senate Republicans proposed, for example, eliminating the early withdrawal penalty for people to access funds in their IRA. So you encourage people, if they need to access their money, but in an IRA, they can do so without penalty as a way to help, you know, bridge the gap for now. That's one thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the government's view is it will give everyone $1,000. Now, that's great if what you need is the people who need it to buy food. That's fine. But what about the, you know, person who has a mortgage and a lot of debts to pay? So being able to take money out of your retirement account. Basically, what we all need right now is enough savings to get us through a month or two of enforced we're not working. And if you've got the savings, you ought to be able to get at it via the retirement accounts. I and a bunch of others have clever ideas to borrow from the IRS. Why not let you borrow against your future tax payments? The IRS knows how to come get the money back from you. People who, in order to not default on their debts, need more than $1,000 a month, need a way to get that more than $1,000 a month out.
And part of that would be, part of what you're talking about too, is at least some of that is contained in the Republican proposal to push off tax deadlines, to defer payroll tax payments, to be able to carry back losses to offset against the previous 5 years of profits for businesses, those sorts of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we could go one step further. And hey, the IRS will send you some money if you promise to give it, and the IRS will get it back. But those are ways to get cash. What we're seeing now in the markets is this scramble for cash. Everybody needs cash, and they got to be able to get to it. Bankruptcy isn't the end of the world. That's a way of getting at the cash owned by bondholders. Bankruptcy really just means reorganization. The stockholders lose everything. The bondholders take a bath, and you reopen again the next day. So for large corporations, we don't have to bail out every single large company in the world. Small businesses, they don't get protection. They don't get reorganization. They get shut down and liquidated. So we want to avoid that for sure.
Right. I mean, the question is, do those low-interest secured loans, does that do enough to prevent a real hemorrhaging in employment? And then you're talking about real costs on the other side between whatever, subsidizing COBRA and unemployment insurance and just trying to get people reemployed in what could be a very, very grim economy, economy in recession.
Yeah, exactly. This is an important point to keep in mind. What we're trying to do now is mothball an economy in a way that can come back again. This is very different than 2008 when we're trying to stop a recession. So stimulus is completely pointless. We do not want people to go out and spend money to revive the economy because the government shut down the economy. The point is to keep things alive so it's ready to go again when the virus passes.
He is John Cochran, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution and an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. John, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Yeah,
you're listening to The Dan Proft Show on the Salem